this is Neil Funk, and you're listening to Frank on the Chicago Bullseye.
Hello, this is Nick Friedel, and you're listening to Frank on the Chicago Bullseye. Hi, this is Chuck Swirsky, and you're listening to Frank on the Chicago Bullseye.
I'm Bob Love of the Chicago Bulls, and you listen to Freddie.
Let's get into, do you feel the Bulls will make the playoffs next season? And if so, let's start out this discussion. Why don't you give me your top six? I kind of have it, you know, there's two teams at the top that are on their own tier. And then after that, I'd love to hear, you know, who else you got in the East ranked from 1 to 8. So let's start out with your 1 through 8, if you don't mind.
Yeah. So 1 through 8 for the East, it's kind of tough because, again, obviously there's so much movement, and then amongst the bottom half, it's almost sort of a crapshoot there. But just looking at it, sort of, and this is loosely what I would think here, I would probably still have, obviously, Milwaukee at the top there at number one. I definitely would have Philly slotted there at number two. I think I actually kind of like Brooklyn as a sneaky number three team.
Oh my God.
My reasoning here is I think the Celtics have the infrastructure in place, and they do have, you know, Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown can take steps forward. But I do think Brooklyn is going to be energized, obviously, by this infrastructure and sort of the talent they have coming in. Obviously, Kevin Durant's not going to play next year, but I'm of the mind that the center depth that you have with DeAndre Jordan and Jared Allen is going to be very nice. DeAndre Jordan is a little bit, obviously, and not even a little bit, he is very much past his prime. But I think the last few years, we've seen him pretty much just not try, which isn't a great sign, but I think we've seen him not try because he's been disillusioned with the situation.
Yeah.
And Brooklyn with his friend Kyrie, I think we're going to see him very excited, pumped up. He'll probably undeservedly get the starting job because I think Jared Allen is amazing and should be the starter there, but obviously Jordan will probably start and we'll probably see Allen come off the bench. But I like their center rotation to help prop up the defense that might be a little weak on the perimeter. And I'm of the mindset where the gap between Kyrie Irving and D'Angelo Russell, obviously there's a gap there, but I think it's much, much bigger than the average fan, I think, would estimate there. So I could see Brooklyn as my sneaky number three, and then I would have Boston at four, probably still have the Pacers at five, same as last season. And then after those top five teams, it's kind of tough because I really just want to say the Heat would be my number six just based off of the fact that they have Jimmy Butler. And I think based off of those first six teams I gave you, you could see why I think the Bulls legitimately could be the eighth seed there.
Absolutely. So that's interesting that you don't have so you have the Heat in at six, and you feel Toronto's going to fall that far, that they're going to fall outside. I don't have the Heat there. So would you, first of all, let's take a step back. Would you agree with me that I think Philly and Milwaukee are clearly on their own level? I think those two are the best two teams in the East, and there's quite a drop-off after that.
Philly and Milwaukee would be a class above everyone else in the East to me. Milwaukee for the obvious reason, and also just the fact that while losing Brogdon is going to hurt them, I think Eric Bledsoe sort of has something about the playoffs where he always seems to underperform. So I think we'll see him in the regular season sort of pick up the slack for Brogdon there. The Bucks will be back on top again. The Sixers, obviously, they had a lot of change there, but Horford, I think, is going to be awesome in lineups with Embiid. And I think, you know, if Embiid needs to get those DMP just for rest, Horford will be a great asset to them there. I'm of the mindset that Josh Richardson actually has a lot of growth left as an isolation scorer. He's not going to be amazing at that skill ever, and he's never going to be quite like Jimmy Butler in that regard, but I think Josh Richardson can develop a little bit more offensively and help Tobias Harris kind of pick up the slack and sort of make the Philadelphia offense be able to at least get close to the level that their elite defense is going to be. Just to quickly address the obvious elephant in the room there, Toronto. Having Toronto, obviously, like I'm saying, basically somewhere between, you know, 5 and 7, and that's not a hard stance right now. I could very easily see Toronto being, you know, a top four seed. But my reasoning for having them conservatively right now, I probably have them at six, actually, and have Miami at seven there. But I would have Toronto down there at six just because I do think, you know, there's the obvious drop-off and shock value of not having a player like Kawhi Leonard, who, though he had a lot of load management, you know, you get used to relying on him heavily on the offensive side of the ball. I do think Pascal Siakam is going to show a lot of growth and be able to handle a lot of usage rate on offense while sort of picking up the slack for Kawhi. And I actually do think Pascal Siakam is going to make the All-Star team, just jumping ahead here, just based off of how I'm looking at the East. But my reasoning for Toronto is Kyle Lowry, obviously, the situation is going to be interesting with him. There's going to be a lot more pressure on Lowry to create with Kawhi no longer on the team. And, you know, Kawhi is by no means a very old player or anything. He is, however, a 6'1 point guard who's 196 pounds or so conservatively. And at 33 years old, I do think we could see a little bit of wear and tear from Kyle Lowry here, where there's a bit of a drop off in that regard.
Absolutely.
But the real reason for me having Toronto ranked so low is just because I think Masai Ujiri, we've seen he's not a guy that likes to sort of rest on his laurels. So I think we could see Toronto make a trade that sort of nets some future assets, a lot of really good future assets, but they sort of get rid of the veteran bones of the championship team in terms of Serge Ibaka, Marc Gasol, Kyle Lowry, and you sort of clear the decks to have Pascal Siakam, Norman Powell, and some young players and sort of see what you have there. So I think the Raptors can have their cake and eat it too, to where they can rebuild and get some future assets, but still be a 6 seed or a 5 seed in the playoffs. And I think that's the direction they're going to go ultimately.
Interesting. Yeah, so it's going to be, you right now you have the Bulls making the playoffs as an 8 seed, it sounds like. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I would have conservatively just in the playoffs, yeah, the Bucks, the Sixers, the Nets, the Celtics, the Pacers, the Raptors, the Heat, and then the Bulls as the 8 seed there. And the simple reason is I think obviously we can say New York and Cleveland are going to be out of it in the East. Washington will probably be able to – oh, sorry.
And the Hornets are definitely out.
So it's funny you say that. So I think Cleveland and New York are definitely out. Washington, I think, can make a push, obviously, whenever they want to because they have Bradley Beal and they can really go for it. I just don't think they have enough around him if they don't trade him in the first place. No. So I would go Cleveland, New York, Washington out. I'm with you, Charlotte out. But the thing is, I do think they're not very much, just a tad bit underrated in the fact that they've set up a very weird team that probably won't be very good. But every player they have on their team is pretty much a veteran that's sort of been around the block and been in different situations. So I do think they have enough pros to be interesting, at least, maybe, especially if Miles Bridges takes a step forward in his second year. And if P.J. Washington, a rookie I really liked, if he has a good rookie year, I could see them being okay. But ultimately, we can agree on the fact that Charlotte probably will not be in the postseason. So, yeah, with Cleveland, New York, and Charlotte out, and Washington out, I think the Bulls have a clear pass there because I think that battle is going to be between the Bulls and the Hawks for the 8 seed.
Really interesting. So I had it with the Magic, the Heat, Detroit, and you know, the Hawks, I love a lot of their talent. I really love DeAndre Hunter, been a huge fan of him. Trae Young, obviously, he's a, you know, rock solid offensive player. A lot of questions on the defensive end, but you know, getting Hunter really solves a lot of those issues. So they're a really interesting team. I kind of view them very similar to the Bulls on an upward trajectory, but I think they're a year behind us, you know, in growth. So you have them. You don't like Detroit. What your reasoning for Detroit and Orlando falling out?
So I would agree with you just really quickly on that Hawks point there. I think the Hawks are a little bit behind the Bulls in terms of the, you know, where they are in their rebuild, but I think they're ahead of the Bulls in the fact that I have no doubt in my mind, at least, that Trae Young absolutely is a star, and that's no knock on any of the Bulls players because I think LaVine and Laurie especially are pretty close to there and definitely have obviously proven themselves much more at the NBA level than Trae Young has, but Trae Young I think has that star quality. So I think he's going to be the guy in Atlanta for a long time, and I do think he's going to have the amazing type of second year in the league to where Atlanta can really push hard and make a push for that 8 seed. My doubt with Orlando and Detroit just comes from the fact, for Orlando, I really just didn't like them standing pat. I mean, I guess that they went 42-40 last year and that they just want to try to make that same playoff push again. I don't think Markelle Fultz is obviously going to be an amazing contributor, even if he's to play this season, just because there doesn't seem to be any news on sort of when he's coming back. Obviously, Vucevic, Terrence Ross, Jonathan Isaac, the players they have there are very good, but I just think offensively they're still a little bit behind. Defensively, they're an awesome team. They have so much length, but I just think the Bulls, again, that offense for Chicago, I think, is going to be pretty good, even for, you know, a team that's young and up and coming. I think it's going to be a really good offense. And I think the defense is going to do enough to sort of, again, be underneath the league average, but close enough to where they can be competitive. So Orlando, I just think by standing pat, they sort of almost took a step back, because I'm not sure if I expect Vucevic to be better next season as their starting center. And I don't think Mo Bamba is going to really be a positive contributor next year either. So I just see them as sort of treading the water. And I also think I could see them trading Aaron Gordon, just because, again, he's a young player who you could see the Lakers or other teams being very interested in and trying to find a way to acquire him. So Orlando, I just didn't like their offseason. Detroit, a little bit of the same. Derrick Rose, I think, will be great for them, because I think he actually may be better than Reggie Jackson, their starting point guard at this point. And they lost Ish Smith, so they're really going to need help at that backup guard position. But my doubt in Detroit just comes from the fact that I don't think Andre Drummond's going to take a step forward. We've sort of seen him almost plateau, and it doesn't look like there's much growth left for him. Obviously, he's super young, so I could very much be wrong. He can become an amazing all-star, all-NBA center. It just looks like right now he's probably going to be your run-of-the-mill starting center who's amazing at rebounding and maybe a little bit overpaid. I do think he has great playmaking skills that they should try to utilize more, but obviously the acquisition of Blake Griffin makes that hard for them. The health is a big issue for me with Detroit, just because I expect Derrick Rose to miss, obviously, a number of games. And Blake Griffin, I expect him to miss a number of games. And any game you don't have Blake Griffin in for Detroit, it's just going to be really hard to generate enough offense to win on a night-to-night basis. So I think the injury bug hits them, and I don't like their depth to really contribute. And the rookie they drafted, Sekou Doumbouya, I actually like him a lot, but I just don't think he's going to be ready for at least 2 or 3 years. So for me, Detroit and Orlando just didn't do enough to get better. I have a lot less faith in the idea of Detroit not making the playoffs, just because Blake Griffin is an amazing all-star player. And it's funny, I even have Blake Griffin still, I believe, making the all-star team here. Let me double-check this. Yeah, I still have Blake Griffin making the all-star team. I just think Detroit's going to fizzle out down the stretch there, especially with the Central, I think, being a little underrated, just because the Bucks and Pacers are going to be very good, and then the Bulls are going to put up a fight every night. Obviously, Cleveland's not going to be too hard, but I think the Central will be a little bit better than expected, just with the Bulls and the Pacers being competitive.
Yeah, Blake played 75 games last year, which is insane. And I think it was a big reason. It was a big reason I think he broke down in the playoffs. And so either they better cut down on his total amount of games, or he's going to get hurt. Either way, I think he's going to play significantly less than 75. Derek's never been a picture of health, although that was a great acquisition. And, you know, I just don't expect them. They were remarkably healthy, incredibly healthy.
Yeah, and you're stuck in between a rock and a hard place with what you just said there with Blake, as in, you know, everyone's doing the load management there. You want to sort of shut Blake down for a certain number of games so you can keep him fresh, so you won't have a repeat of last year where he's gassed in the postseason. But at the same time, if you shut Blake down to keep him healthy throughout the regular season and for the postseason, you know, you may drop enough games there to where, you know, boom, you have a team like a Chicago and Atlanta sort of nipping on your heels there in the standings, and then it becomes sort of a catch-22 there.
Yeah. So I can't think enough. I mean, this has been great, all your input here. So let's we're almost at 40 minutes, so let's the final topic, the Eastern Conference All-Stars. I'd love to get your pick on who you think, first of all, are any Bulls going to make the Eastern Conference All-Star team next year? And if so, who are the players that they're going to replace? So really quick to start this off, let's go, you know, last year the starters were named, you know, obviously there's the draft now, but the starters were Kemba Walker, Kyrie Irving, Kawhi Leonard, who obviously has gone to the West, so that opens up a spot. Giannis and Joel Embiid. And then obviously the reserves were Kyle Lowry, Victor Oladipo, who was obviously hurt and won't make the All-Star team this year. And he was replaced by D'Angelo Russell, who has gone West. Chris Middleton, Bradley Beal, Ben Simmons, Blake Griffin, and Vucevic. Dwayne Wade also made it as a special pick. So what say you? Who do you have for next year's Eastern Conference All-Stars?
So right off the bat, just because of how I feel sort of about the playoff race here, even though, you know, that's not going to factor in too heavily, but I do think Vucevic I would have dropping out here. So with Vucevic out, and I also think, you know, you have Oladipo back in, But just to answer your question there, I would have one Chicago Bull making the All-Star game. I would love to have, you know, two, just because the easy answer is Lori and Zach LaVine are All-Stars, and that would be awesome with the game being in Chicago. I do think the fact that it's in Chicago is going to have a little bit of an influence. Obviously, you know, the league's not just going to mandate that the Bulls have to have an All-Star. They will have to, you know, earn it by the normal means. But I think that'll have an influence a little bit on the national scene. People will like to see a Chicago Bull in the All-Star game if there is a player that's deserving. And especially with the way All-Star teams are picked now, I think Zach LaVine could sneak in. I do think it could even be a 12th man there, as the very last man on the roster. But I think he has a legitimate shot to sneak in there. And the reasoning being, if the Bulls are going to be a near 500 team, you know, near the All-Star break, or at least be competitive to where, you know, they're not one of the three or four worst teams in the league, that'll matter to people, just because we didn't see that at all last year. Now, that being said, over 62 games last season, we saw Zach LaVine score 23.7 points a game. So he was just under 24 points a game last season. So if the Bulls are better, and with the added floor spacing we have, and the fact that Luke Kornet, we have another stretch big who can sort of have some offensive gravity out there on the perimeter, I think we could easily see LaVine get to the free throw line more, which was six times a game last year, career high. So if he improves on that number, I legitimately think we could see Zach LaVine easily, very easily, have a season where he's putting up north of 25 points a game. So now, if you get to that number where you're talking about 25 points a game or more, obviously Zach's going to be on a short list of players that season. He's probably going to be one of the leading scorers in the league up to that point if he's putting up those sort of numbers. And with the added shooters on the Bulls, I think we could see LaVine improve on that career high he had last year of 4.5 assists per game as well. So with better scoring, better assist numbers, he sounds very motivated about trying harder and showing his ability on defense. So I think we could see the steal numbers go up from one steal a game. And, you know, you put that all together, I think he would have the numbers of an All-Star if you're talking about a guy who can bring you 25 points, 5 assists, and 5 rebounds, which I think Zach LaVine can do. I don't think 25, 5, and 5 is inconceivable for him. You know, obviously that's not easy. But again, last year we just said he put up 23.7, 4.5, and 4.7 in points, assists, and rebounds. So he gets the 25, 5, and 5. I think he gets in as long as the Bulls are competitive. And I would have Zach LaVine sort of getting the spot here that you would sort of have vacated, I believe, by Vucevic. I'm looking at my guards here. I still have Middleton in. I have Kyrie in. I have Kimba and Victor Oladipo in. And I would have Ben Simmons and Bradley Beal in. I think you might have to do a little bit of rejiggering there and try to maybe cheat to make Simmons a four to get it all to work. But either way there, I think Zach LaVine has a legitimate chance to get in.
I absolutely agree 100%. I think Zach's chances are better than Lowry's, just because I think Zach is set up for a monster season, as you kind of correctly pointed out. If you look at the vast majority of last season, he didn't have anybody stretching the floor for him. And now he's got Satoransky, Valentine coming back, Otto Porter Jr. for the entire year, Lowry for the whole year. You know, you have legit three-point shooters to spread the floor and open up those runways for him to attack the rim and finish strong. And you know, with improve, even if he averages 23 points a game, if the Bulls are better, it's going to just create, you know, I think just a movement for him to be on the All-Star team. And he is beloved. It's definitely a name that I think people would support him getting on the team. So I think his chances are better. I do feel that Lori can beat out Blake Griffin. I think Blake's heading down pretty quickly, and he's an injury waiting to happen. If Lori puts up a 20-10, let's say, or consistently plays like he did for the much of February, approaches that for, you know, the first half of the season, yeah, I think he can end up beating him out, especially if the Bulls are better than Detroit. But we shall see. You know, we shall see. But
yeah, and I would agree with that. Well, he would have a legitimate chance, especially if, as we sort of hinted at with the playoffs there, that Detroit sort of struggling in that opening half. And so if Lori can get to, like you said, a double-double machine where he's getting 20 points, I think it's not inconceivable for him as well. And I just wanted to note on Zach LaVine, another big reason, just really quickly, I think he's gonna make the All-Star team next year. The fan vote obviously is a big portion of that. We saw Zach LaVine do very well in the fan voting even last season. But this season, I think it's gonna be even stronger, because if you've paid attention, Fred, over the last few months here with the NBA promoting All-Star things and talking about Dunk Week over the last few weeks there, we saw Zach LaVine highlights of that dunk contest where him and Aaron Gordon went head-to-head one of the best dunk contests of all time. And people went crazy on Twitter for those highlights, remembering how awesome that dunk contest was. So I think nationally, you see people want Zach LaVine to be in the dunk contest. And when they look at Zach LaVine's numbers, they say, hey, I forgot this guy's actually a legit scorer from all three levels. And, you know, he's one of the best in-game dunkers in the league as well. So his game obviously lends itself well to an all-star game in Chicago. I think nationally, you're going to see a lot of support for LaVine to get in. And I think we know LaVine's savvy enough with social media to where he's going to promote for himself to get in, especially if he's having a season like last year and people are paying attention to the Bulls. So I think LaVine's going to really, really get in on that regard. Lori, obviously, we know he has his fans. I don't think he's as outspoken sort of about those sort of things. It would have to be the coaches really supporting him. But I think Zach LaVine is going to be able to get a lot of fan support. And there's enough coaches in the NBA and people in NBA circles who know LaVine's a noted hard worker. So I think he's going to have a lot of support to be able to represent the Bulls.
Michael, this was an all-star performance on your first appearance on the Bullseye. Where can people find you?
Oh, man. So you can first follow me on Twitter, at ZenMasterMike. Yes, that is like Phil Jackson, so at ZenMasterMike. Or you can just search my name, Michael Walden. My work, you can find that at Bulls Confidential. So that's BullsConf.com. You can also follow Bulls Confidential on Twitter at that same handle. And outside of that, you also see my work at NugLove.com. That is Denver Nuggets fan-sided website, where I'm a site expert there. And then, of course, NBCSportsChicago.com, where you can find me, of course, always writing about the Bulls and a number of other great topics. And just giving a quick shout-out to Mark Strotman, Mark Schanowski, Kevin Bulldog Anderson, and the rest of the NBC Sports Chicago Bulls team. All those guys are great over there. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And, yeah, make sure to follow me on Twitter. Like I said, it's been nice to Mike because that's the main place to get everything pretty much and see my random ramblings. But also, just on the note of the Bulls here, my hard line prediction for them next year, I think between 34 to 39 wins is what we're going to be looking at. I'm generally a little bit higher than the Vegas projections. So ultimately, I do think the Bulls are going to win, I want to say, 36 games. Now, that's sort of my, you know, a little bit between, I would say, optimistic. I would love to go higher, but I think the Bulls win 36 games.